Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelke. He is Jeff Feagles. The phone number for you is 201-939-4513. Or if you're on Twitter, it's hashtag GiantsChat. We'll field your questions there as well. I know there's not a whole lot going on, folks. That's because the off-season program has ended. Last day was the official last day of mandatory minicamp. All they really did out there was a walkthrough. So they got all their hard work in Tuesday and Wednesday, and yesterday was kind of a wind down. As the guys had their private planes basically land in the parking lot, they jumped on and they got the heck out of
Cars
Dodge.
Cars were running. Everybody was out.
Explain to the fans what getaway day is like for a player at the end of the spring session.
It's amazing because it's exciting. You're done with everything. You know that the next time you come here, it's ready to go. But I think it's that period where you get to go on vacation. It's a great feeling knowing that you just get to leave and not have to come back for 6 weeks. Now, said it yesterday on Big Blue. Caution. Some of these guys have to be careful. The young guys, that 6 weeks, they haven't had that before. It's like, okay, now what do? You behave yourself is what you do. You behave yourself, and then you get to the workouts that they give you when you leave here and make sure you're doing them. More importantly, just to go out and relax, because you know what, John? When you get here after those 6 weeks, it's a grind, as we know. It's the whole season's in front of you, and then you look forward to the off season. But it's fun. I remember, yeah, the cars were running in the parking lot when you drove. They kept them running yesterday.
Let me ask you, more fun day, getaway day when we used to go away for training camp up in Albany, or getaway day at the end of the spring before you hit 6 weeks off before the start of the training
camp? No question, the end of training camp.
Really? That's better.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you know what? Now you know the season is going to start.
I figured people wanted the six weeks off.
Well, I just feel like the training camp was, you know, that it's over now, and that now you're so close to the regular season, and, you know, the paychecks are going to start coming, all the other good stuff, you know, all that good stuff happened.
Nah, you hit it there. I forgot about that part of it. That's a really good point. Because fans don't understand, Jeff. Players really don't start getting paid until they play that first regular season game.
Unless you got, you know, a signing bonus to sign with the team or something like that. But the paychecks don't start until the first game of the week of the regular season. And really, in training camp, everybody makes the same. So a guy that makes $17 million a year and a guy that makes minimum whatever it is, they're still making the same amount of money in training camp. It also goes for the playoffs, too.
It's hard to believe, to be honest with you, but I guess that's how it
is. You know what's hard to believe is the fact that when you go to the playoffs, every player on the team makes the same amount also.
How is that scale? Do you get more for each round?
Each round you get more,
yeah. Each round?
Okay. And it's gone up over the years.
And obviously, what was the bonus you guys got for winning the Super Bowl in 2007?
I think all together was $110,000, I think, somewhere around in there.
So that was for winning all the games leading up to the Super
Bowl? All four games.
Wow. I think it would be more than that.
You would think. You would think, but it's not.
But you did get some fancy rings, which probably kind of made up for a lot of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Those rings were, yeah. And, you know, maybe one day they'll be worth $110,000. I don't know, but they was worth every penny to me, that's for sure.
What, are you looking to sell, Feagles?
No. I'm looking for maybe one day when I'm not on this earth that somebody might get it down the line and have it appraised, and they'd be like, wow, Dad's ring is worth that? You know?
I can actually... Because I recently bought a home, as you well know.
Yeah.
So I'm debating whether or not to get the rings insured. So I actually did have to get them appraised. I won't tell you the number on the air. You can ask me later. But I can tell you, as of a week ago, what your 2007 Super Bowl ring is probably worth.
Okay. I'm guessing.
Nope. Let's not throw numbers out there. I don't think that's constructive.
I don't know. I don't care what it's worth. It's not going anywhere.
Exactly. That is one of those things that you'll pass on.
Oh,
you'll have
no
your
question.
Three sons in a steel cage match, and they'll just battle at it.
And you know.
They'll battle
well,
for it.
You know, well enough,
survives.
You know me well enough that I just hope I don't lose it. Right? Folks, I leave stuff everywhere. I mean, I leave my computer here. I leave my bag. Thank God I keep my car keys in the car because I have a lock on it. But, yeah, that's one knock on wood that I have not misplaced yet. So.
Okay, now let's talk about spring workouts. Let's start with the basics first. What do you think is the most important thing that the players accomplished in the last 2 months that they were here, first working out, then getting on the fields, into OTAs, and then finally minicamp?
Well, I think with working out, you got goals you want to set strength-wise, flexibility, movement, and I think that every player has their own goals. And, you know, you look at somebody like Eric Flowers. I mean, his goal was to get maybe, you know, lose – I don't know if it's so much lose weight, but just to kind of get in better shape, if you will. Footwork, handwork. We know that he was going to buy – he's going boxing now. So that was – so really collectively for the team, each player is different. Going into the OTAs and the minicamp, it's all about – one, I believe it's as a team concept, it's depth, trying to figure out who's on your team, which positions you have more depth than others. You got to identify guys that you think that you want to bring to training camp and you don't. And obviously you'll see there's some transactions that will be made between now and training camp. And you've already seen the ones that have already been made. And then from a team aspect, you want to install, get the new guys to understand the system, make some changes to some of the offensive plays and the defensive schemes, and get guys familiar with the concept both offensively, defensively, and special teams. And then you just leave the building, you let it go, and then when you come back into training camp, it's start over again. But all of the stuff that you've done from the beginning of OTAs and the mini camps and the off-season workouts all has to run itself into one common goal. So when you get here in training camp, that it's you're in shape, you've got a good concept of the playbook, because really they start over, John. I think you know this. At the very first day of the camp, in training camp, they start installing the offense and the defense from day one. However, it's an accelerated process. It goes very, very quickly, because that's what all of this stuff that they've been doing the last couple months is for, so they can understand what's going on. So a lot goes into it. A lot of goals need to be set by individuals in the organization. I think that when that start of training camp at the end of July, they're ready to go. That's about it. What else you want to know? it's Friday, if you want to know that.
Anybody and, really jump out to you from rookies, second-year players, offense, defense, that you're like, you know what, these OTAs, maybe I think a little bit differently about these guys?
Well, I think that what I wanted to see coming out of this was, well, I talk about depth all the time because I think that that's important at certain positions. I think the cornerback position, trying to find who's going to be that fourth corner, that was kind of something that I was – wanting to understand going into training camp. I don't think it's there yet, but I think that's one position that I'm interested in. The other one, it is, I thought Davis Webb was, I only got to watch a couple practices, but the times that I did see him, I was very impressed with him.
Oh, all the physical tools are there. Now, mentally, you can't tell in practice how much he's getting
sure,
it or not.
But he's a smart guy, and you know what? I was very impressed. I didn't realize how big he was and how strong his arm was.
Ball comes out real easy, doesn't it?
It really does, and it's exciting to watch, and I feel like he's in a perfect position. He has no pressure. He has, you know, it's just kind of he's going to be sitting here waiting and learning from one of the best to play the game, and that's a good thing for him.
201-939-4513.
What do you think? What was intriguing to you in this process? I know we've got minicamp. Now, minicamp was more about the veterans. The OTA was about kind of everybody.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think you look at the young guys and kind of see how they progress over the course of it. I agree. I think Davis Webb is somebody that probably a little bit more physically gifted than I thought he was watching him on tape. I knew he was that gifted, but seeing him up close and personal, it hits you a little bit more. I agree with that 100%. Again, you don't know. The big step for any quarterback is doing it under pressure, people in your face in a game situation. You know, Brandon Whedon historically looked great in practice because he's huge. Yeah. He had a cannon. He throws spirals. He gets into a game. He can't play. So, that's obviously the next thing for Davis Webb. But, look, we've seen quarterbacks come in here and look awful in practice in their first year here. The fact that he hasn't is only good. A good sign. Absolutely.
And to stay on that subject real quickly is, you know, there is a big battle at that number two position.
I figure Webb will be three in his first year.
Of course, right. Yeah. But I feel like the number two, I mean, you're looking at the two veteran quarterbacks that are competing, that's going to be a good competition. It really is. I think that's one that you keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think Geno Smith should be full go by the time the team gets to minicamp, which would be good for him. Training camp. So that'll be good for him. And him and Josh Johnson will have a great competition there for that second quarterback spot. I was happy how Evan Engram, after the first couple weeks, he was very quiet, wasn't looked at a lot. I feel like he was much more involved in the offense the last couple weeks of OTAs and then in minicamp, getting more looks from Eli. And you see his receiving skills. He runs around like a wide receiver. I mean, he's a really good athlete, and I think he'll be a weapon in the passing game from the get-go.
I saw him yesterday in the cafeteria, and again, I've said this before, I didn't realize how big he was. But then I'm looking how big he is and how fast for a big man can run like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we did see him put his hand in the dirt quite a bit during minicamp and OTAs, but who knows if that's really where it's going
to
be.
Hey, look, and in training camp you get to see him with pads on, and when he has to get physical, how exactly physical he's going to be.
And that's going to be another position to watch, is that tight end position with Matt Lacoste, if he can stay healthy. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, that this is one man that can make this team if he can stay healthy, in my opinion.
And can they keep four if Rhett Ellison's one of the four, because he can also play fullback? That's the question.
And I think it all depends on depth at other positions. You know, if they have to carry an extra D lineman, or they have to carry another extra corner, that where do they go to get it?
Yeah, and I think that was an interesting part too. I think the depth at wide, and you know, again, OTAs, there's no pads, folks, so you can't really see line play too well. That's why I'm kind of focusing on all the skill position guys, because you can see a lot more of that. I thought the depth competition at wide receiver and corner was very interesting. You know, behind the top four wide receivers, I'm including Dwayne Harris in that, who your next one or two guys, depending if you keep five or six. And then defensively, after your top three cornerbacks, who are your fourth, fifth, and sixth guys that could make this team, or fourth and fifth guys? You know, Valentino Blake is a veteran, very good on special teams. That'll get him on the roster. But is he going to be the fourth corner? Or is he going to be the fifth corner? Michael Hunter got a lot of reps.
Michael,
who knows?
Hunter.
You know, there's been a lot of guys. So I think there's a lot of that type of competition that I think –
I like Michael Hunter. I like his size. I think that's what the team likes. Okay. I like he's 6 foot.
And you know, Eli Apple was sick this week. He got first team reps.
Yep. So you got to look at that. And, you know, Dante Dion is a guy that's, you know, this will probably play some special teams, can play some nickel, dime, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, that's going to be an interesting, very interesting battle at those positions. But that's what competition's all about. That's what training camp's all about. That's why they got 90 guys on the roster. Cut it down to 53. And John and I will make our rosters, as we always do.
At the end of camp, let's not get ahead of ourselves, please.
Well, I have to start thinking that far in advance. I really do.
You're going to forget whatever you think anyway.
You're right. That's why I write it down.
Let's get to your calls at 201-939-4513. Oh, you're going to be annoyed. Dave Dominic, a great job doing the research here. So back in 2008, your Super Bowl share was $78,000 for
Very
winning.
Very nice. That was sweet right there. I'll sign up for that again.
What do you think it is now?
It's close to 100, maybe 90 something.
107.
Well, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
All right. So it's over 100.
107.
Oh, so just barely. Okay.
It's gone up more than 50%. Just about 50%.
Wow.
And in 2017 playoffs, I mentioned 107 for winning the Super Bowl. You get 24 for the wild card round, 24 for the divisional, and 44 for the conference championship.
Did we really?
No, that's what they get now.
Oh. Okay.
I imagine that's more than what you got.
Well, if it's a little less than 50%, if we figure that out, all right? Right. So maybe that's 12 and then 17 and 20-something maybe. Hey, I'm not complaining, man. Not complaining.
Throwing that there for you. All right, 201-939-4513. Tyler in North Carolina has been holding since the start of the show. Hi, Tyler. How are you?
Tyler, how are you, buddy?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Good.
First off, I really look forward to listening to the show every day. Thanks for keeping us interested and updated during this kind of boring time in the football world.
We do our best. Thank you.
My question today is the Giants' defense against scrambling quarterbacks. Last year it seemed like a bit of a weakness to me. Aaron Rodgers, Prescott, even Carson Wentz to an extent. They seem to get those 5-10-yard scrambles, you know, once or twice a game, pick up a third down. With 10 out of 11 returning starters, do you think stopping quarterback scrambles is something we're going to improve on, or something that you think we just kind of have to deal with based on certain schemes?
Well, I think a couple things. One, I think overall against two of those scrambling quarterbacks, Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott, the defense overall did a good job against them. Now, you're right. They did a couple times get outside the pack on a run a little bit.
And that's what they do.
And then that's what they're going to do. And I think, to me, Jeff, the issue is twofold. One is that the Giants are a penetrating type of defensive line. They're not just trying to hold their position and stop rushing lanes. They're trying to get up the field to get sacks. And when that happens, you open up creases, gives guys room to run. Number two, the Giants also play a lot of man-to-man defense. When you play man-to-man defense, you're not looking back at the quarterback a lot. So if he scrambles, there's nobody there to contain that scramble unless you have like a linebacker spy or something like that watching the quarterback.
Don't want to leave
your
guy.
To me, those are the two things that I think play into the fact as to why maybe they've had some issues dealing with some scrambling quarterbacks.
Well, I think that the first one that you said that I don't know if it was the first or the second, but this defense is a pressuring defense. They like to get after the quarterback, and a lot of times these defensive ends and even they kind of lose their responsibility.
They get way far upfield.
Too much. Mm-hmm. And then you know, they collapse the pocket, and then there he goes out. And if they're in man coverage, then that's what happens. So I think there's probably a little bit of emphasis towards that. But, you know, I think if you look at every team when they go up against scrambling quarterbacks, there isn't one team that does particularly better than a lot of the others. It's just the nature of the game. They get outside the pocket, and those quarterbacks make something happen.
But again, Wentz and Prescott, Tyler, did not have good games against the Giants this past year, and you hope that continues now in 2017.
Yeah, we're going to play them again. So.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for the call.
Hey, well, you're welcome.
I look forward to hearing what you guys talk about today.
No problem. Thank you, Tyler. What do you think of the whole concept of the Dak Prescott sophomore slump coming this year? Do you buy it?
I got to think about that. So if I look at the two guys on that team with Elliott and Prescott, I would imagine in my mind that who would have it would be more of Elliott than Prescott.
Really?
And I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because I feel like
that's surprising.
I feel like Prescott is a guy that has kind of his head on the straight and narrow.
I agree with that.
A little bit focused more.
I think that's true.
This is just my opinion.
Uh-huh.
So I think that in that sense, I don't think too many distractions are going to bother him. The only thing that I think could bother him is that now that a team has had a full off season to go in and analyze him and go look back at tapes and things like that, the opponents going into the 2017 season are going to have a lot of time to prepare for him.
Right.
So there's where your sophomore slump comes
right,
in.
Right. And I also think he'll just by the nature of the game, throw a few more interceptions. I think he caught a couple breaks last year with picked balls that could have been picked but didn't. So I think rather than being a 3 or 4, he'll probably be closer to 8 or 9, which is still a very good number, by the way, for
a
quarterback.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So I think that's probably – he'll probably, I would say, close to double his interceptions from last year, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be very
and
bad.
And that could be a product of two things. Number one, the team's knowing him a little bit more.
Right.
And also – him knowing the game a little bit more, maybe getting a little bit more confident he might be able to make a throw when he can't.
Correct. He becomes less cautious.
Exactly.
He gets more confident.
Yeah. Because really, you look at what they did to him last year. They had the reins on him, man, for the first half of the season.
For the first half of the season, yes. The second half of the season, they let him go a little bit.
A little bit more. So they're probably going to let him go a little bit more, too. So that could happen.
And you know what? Every quarterback goes through that because you want your quarterback to learn. And the only way they're going to learn is by doing it in a game, is what risks you can take and what risks you can't. And until you get bitten in the rear end by making certain mistakes, you're going to do those things.
Absolutely.
So I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I agree. I think the other thing, too, he might be forced to throw it more. If the Cowboys' offensive line isn't the same, they lost Doug Free. They lost Ronald Leary. They're still trying to figure out who the left guard is. Can Lyle Collins play right tackle? I'm not sure if we know that or not. He's never played there in the NFL before. So if they can't run the ball as effectively, is more going to go on Prescott's plate?
Of course.
Which forces him to make more of those third and long throws where mistakes tend to happen more often.
And you know what? He may have to run a little bit more than he has in the past because of that offensive line.
Yeah, and he really didn't run a whole lot last year, Prescott.
No, he did not. And, you know, just to give you an example, if you ever notice, like, when a starting quarterback gets hurt and – The quarterback the next week is not a guy that's very, very well known. He's, you know, it's kind of maybe a first, second.
He'll have a
player.
Big game sometimes.
He has a
right?
big game.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens the following week? Zach, his team figure him out. I mean, these coaches are good, man. So if you got a whole offseason to prepare for Prescott, it's going to have its effect on him. Now, with Ezekiel Elliott, I just feel like, you know, the offensive line is a question for the Cowboys, and that's going to affect him big time.
Well, again, I don't think their line's going to be bad, but will it be as good as it was
It's not going to be what it was last year, where they were probably the best offensive line in the history, according to them. You know, but I think they'll still have a good running game.
That might be a little strong, because I think the Cowboys from the early 90s would probably say we were better than that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
With Evan Smith.
And they were pretty good, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see, but, you know granted, they're going to struggle a little bit their sophomore year, but I think those are two really good players, and as long as they can keep their head straight, they'll be fine.
All right, let's go to Jason in Maine. He's up next. Hi, Jason. How are you,
What's
buddy?
Up, Jason?
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing
great.
Well, Jason. By the way, Jason, I might have to call on you. If Charlie tries to welch on his bet to Feagles, I'm going to have to send you over there to enforce for me, okay? Is that all right?
That's right.
All right.
All right, sounds good. What do you got for me today?
I got a question for Jeff.
Yeah.
Just something I've been wondering about sometimes. Throughout your years playing, I just want you to focus on when you were on a team that had their last game they were facing and they were on the road. So you guys are going to play on the road, and you're not going to the playoffs. It's a meaningless game. The practices that week and the way that you play, is it harder for the guys? Do they are they more concerned about injuries at the end of the year? How much effort do they put forth? I guess I just always wonder that. If I ever pick games at the end of the year, when I look at a road team and they have nothing to play for, I usually pick against them. And I'm just wondering, is there anything to that, do you think? Or
no, there's absolutely – that's it. And it's
good
it's,
question.
It's a great question, and I'll tell you, it does matter. It never mattered to me because – just that's just the way I approach the game. But I will tell you, there are guys that are pending free agents going into their last game. The last thing they can think of about is getting hurt. Okay, it could cost them a lot of money. And then you also get the guys that they quit. There's quitters on there. They quit, and guys just shut it down. And not only the last week, if you're on a bad team, they're shutting it down 4 or 5 weeks left in the season. You know, they all of a sudden have that back injury, or they have an injury that they just kind of can't get out of the training room, and it's a train wreck.
And again, I was only in college, but I remember there were reports that that was some of the stuff that was happening in Jim Fossil's last year here before they decided to let him go.
Well, there was a lot of things happen. I was on that team.
Oh, so, see, now, yeah. I thought you arrived the year after.
No, nope.
Okay.
That was the truth. There was a lot of things that were going on. Guys, you know, just kind of just quit. And when you have players quit and it falls on the head coach, because
you're on that
that's,
team.
That's what happens. But good question. And, yes, it's I believe, especially on the road. Especially on the road, because you just, you know, a lot of guys don't want to make that trip. They just want to say that they're, you know, their arms hurting them or their knees are hurting or something. But it's the product on the field is definitely not as good as if you were trying to go into the playoffs, for sure.
What else you got, Jason?
Okay. I just wanted to give a shout-out to last year's Giants team. I just want to say I think my proudest moment for them last year, I know they went to the playoffs and they won, they beat the Cowboys twice, and those are some great things. But to me, the proudest moment for me was that last game against the Redskins. I mean, they had a game, they didn't have to win it, and they're on the road. The Redskins are a good team. I mean, they had good offense. They desperately needed to win the game, and the fact that our guys came out and played as hard as they did, to me, I mean, I was just one of my proudest moments. I mean, I think the second one would be beating the Patriots in 07, just the way that they fought that game. But to come into that game, and they played their hearts out in that game, and they won it, and they beat the Redskins. And, you know, I don't know if any of them ever listened to it, but I just want to give a shout-out to them and say that, you know, as a Giant fan, it just showed me the heart of the team. And just wanted to say I was proud of them for that moment. And just wanted to ask, and I'll hang up here, I just read some reports about some offensive line injuries, and I'm just wondering, are there anything significant in those injuries, or are they things that will be okay in the next 6 weeks or so when training camp comes? Just banged up things like Fluker.
Pugh.
They said Fluker had a shoulder problem, and Justin Pugh was out, I think, for a little bit, and I think Flowers was out with something. So just wonder if you can give us an update on that, and thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate the call. Now, I don't think any of those things are going to be super serious where you're going to see effects in camp, or at least the Giants haven't said they're going to be. So I would not worry too much about that.
Yep. I mean, just listen, they got 6 weeks, and it didn't seem to be anything serious, which is good, knock on wood.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. Could you tell in the final 2 weeks of the year what players had incentives with certain statistical milestones?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, there's no question. There's no question. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you ever have any of those incentives in your contract?
You know what? I did early on in my career.
Like
what? You had incentives. But they don't put them in contracts that much anymore.
Correct.
Just like inside the 20s, you know, rankings, net punt, gross punt, nets in the conference, in the division, all kinds of statistical. For punting, it was all about stats. So those were the incentives came in. So, you know, going into the last season, if I needed, you know, two inside the 20s to make a $10,000 bonus or something, you know, I was trying to get in two of them inside the 20.
So, in other words, when the coach sends out the field goal, you know, for a 52-yard, you're in his ear.
No.
I think we got to punt this one.
We got to nail him in the corner, coach. You kicker, sit down. I'm going back out there. Yeah. But it's you know, you got to be real careful about that. You know,
of course.
It's just like you just got to go out and play the game and let the chips fall where they may. But there are guys sacks. I will tell you one. I'll tell you one it wasn't an incentive, and this is a good story, by the way. It wasn't an incentive. It was a milestone, and it was also a goal of mine. And this was in the 2008 season. We finished playing on the road against Minnesota, okay, in the dome, and going into that game, I was over a 40-yard net average.
And Coach Coughlin actually rested the starters in the second half of that game, if you remember.
So I remember saying to Tom Quinn, listen, I gotta, I'm going out of bounds, and I'm going to be kicking away from the returner the whole game because I got to get this 40-yard net. It had only been done twice in the NFL history, and it's never been done in the Giants organization. And it was a goal of mine to get to have that. And that was the pinnacle of punting, to try to get a 40-yard net average. And so that game, I purposely was kicking away from the guy so that there would be no return yards.
Who was the returner that game? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
I can look that up.
I'm sure you can find it. I came out of the game with like a 42-yard net average that game or something, and ended up having the 40-yard net, which went to the Pro Bowl that year. That's when me and John Carney went to the Pro Bowl.
Who were the two punters that had done it before you? Reggie Roby was
at
he
that
one
time.
Of them?
It was Shane Lechler. And it was Andy Lee from the 49ers. So, and those guys were bangers, we call them. Those are the guys that had like 47, 48-yard, 49-yard gross averages. Mm-hmm. And I was just putzing around at like 43, 44. But that was a big milestone for me. Now, if you look at 40-yard net averages in 2016, I bet there was more than half of the punters in the league had them.
Why do you think that is? You think guys
They're just bigger and stronger.
Better sports science to kind of get them ready to do it.
Exactly. And they can kick it further, and they don't do directional kicking. They just bang it down there. So if they kick a 65 yarder and they return at 20, they get a 45 yard net average out of it. So it's just, the game has changed, just like at all positions. Punting has changed a lot. There's not as many touchbacks in the league anymore because the guys do the Aussie kick,
Kick and punt returns. Let's see. Any of these names jump? Was it Charles Gordon?
I don't know.
Bernard Berrien, maybe?
It might have been Bernard Berrien.
Those are a couple guys in the 2000 guys that had punt returns.
So, but they didn't touch the ball that much that day. So they really
and Fee's got his 40.
And it was funny because usually if we were on the left hash, I would always kick to the left sideline. That game I was doing everything opposite. If I was on the left hash, I was kicking to the right sideline. Just because they game plan. They would always game plan. So I was going against the game plan, the opposing team. It didn't matter. I don't care where they knew where I was kicking, because I was always trying to pin it on the sideline anyways. But this game, they had me. The returner was playing, from the hash to the numbers. He was and the whole right side of the field was open. I was just kicking it down there.
Someone scattered your punting very well. Let's go to Carlos in Virginia. He's up next. Hi, Carlos.
What's up?
Hey, how you doing? It's been a long time since I called you.
Well, thanks for calling.
Welcome back. No problem.
Yeah, thank you. And it's such an honor to speak with Jeff Fegels, which I believe
thank
is
you.
One of the all-time greats.
I appreciate that.
In the NFL, one of the all-time greats in the National Football League. I was thinking about, we went and drafted Evan Engram, which I believe he's going to be like a, Jimmy Graham-type tight end. The more I look, the more I look at it, the more I see, the dynamics of him. I mean, I think he's going to turn out great. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I said sure. Yeah, I agree with you. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so my question to you guys is, the state of the offensive line. I know there wasn't a good a wide selection of offensive linemen in the draft and through free agency, with adding DJ Fluker. How strong do you think this offensive line is going to be to hold up with all the weapons that Eli Manning has in his arsenal right now?
Carlos, I was talking to the Giants offensive line coach just 2 weeks ago, and I said, hey, Mike Solari, how are you? Are you going to really know anything about these offensive linemen until they get the pads on in August? He goes, no, not really. So Jeff and I could, spin you some type of tale about these guys, working a lot, being in better shape, and all those things are important. They're good things. Don't get me wrong. Working on their technique, that's all good too. But until we see that get translated to when they have the pads on, they're hitting people in practice against JPP and OV and then in preseason games, we're basically taking a leap of faith. So we're in wait and see mode, or at least I am, and I think Jeff is too.
There's no question. You can't do the only thing you can do is guess at who the starters are going to be and go on how they played last year and then how they've improved in these camps and stuff. But until we get into the preseason games and there's competition, nobody knows. You just hope that they come out of it healthy. They hope that they come out with five guys that are going to have some continuity and to be able to get some chemistry together. Other than that, I think that's it. I think the writing's on the wall that both Bobby Hart and Eric Flowers understand that they have to play better.
They seem to know.
And so I think collectively with that in mind that they will get better, and we hope so. That's about it.
Okay. Yeah, and with the running game now, I know a lot of it, you know, has to, with a good running game, you know, it would have to fall within the offensive line, you know, with better protection and stuff like that. But like with the running game, I mean, how good do you think the running backs that we have right now is going to be this year?
I think Paul Perkins will help. He's more elusive than Rashad Jennings was last year. He's more able to make people miss, which I think will help him behind the type of offensive line the Giants have. So I do think the running game is going to be better. I mean, do I think it's going to be like, you know, Pittsburgh or Dallas's running game last year? No. That's just not the way the Giants play. They play a West Coast offense. They're going to want to throw the ball. They have so many built-in pass plays that almost function like running plays. They're just not going to have that number of carries. But I think the running game will be more efficient for sure, and I think it'll be a little more explosive too with Perkins' elusiveness and speed.
And I think that they'll be. I think that they're going to want to give, you know, Perkins obviously the share of the load, but I believe that there's going to be a nice injection of a rotation in there.
So you think it'll be primary? You think it'll be more of a three-headed monster than a two-headed monster?
I do.
See, I think it's going to be more of a two-headed monster. I'm going to disagree with you there. I think it'll be Perkins and Vereen, and maybe we'll get another guy get two or three carries a game, and that's it.
You think Jones makes the team?
Not sure. It'll be close.
Yeah. Well, you got the young guy.
I like him. I like Sean Drone. I do.
He's a tough dude.
Yeah. Hopefully, we can get at least, because we haven't had a 1,000-yard running back since Tiki Barber and
Bradshaw had 1,000 yards. I think in 2009. I think something like that. If I remember right, 2010 maybe.
Might have been 2008.
I think Jacobs had it in 2008.
Okay.
And Ward might have got there too, actually. You know,
yeah.
Well, one thing you're going
to
see at the running back position, I think that is what I would like to see is a little bit less turnovers, okay? And being able to mix it up a little bit with all of the running backs, being able to catch the football. Not so much having to go to Shane Vereen all the time on third down or this and that. I think that if you can mix it up a little bit with all those guys being able to catch the ball. And ball security, you know, I think that's a good thing. I also think from the quarterback position, you got to be able to work on some things about holding on to the football too. And there was a caller yesterday that asked about Eli's glove. I think that's probably part of maybe one of the solutions.
Can't hurt.
You never know.
Yeah. By the way, Jacobs and Derek Ward both had just over 1,000 yards. Jacobs, 1,089, and Ward, 1,025 in 2008. Bradshaw just had 355 yards.
Okay, so did Bradshaw have 1,000 the following year in 2010?
I will check that for you. Well, let's see if he had an own. I know he had one 1,000. He had two 1,000 yards years. He had 1,200 yards in 2010 and 1,000 yards in 2012. Those are his 2,000 yard years.
Not bad. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see two guys over 1,000.
Yeah, I sure do. I look forward to seeing that.
I'll take one.
Hopefully, that'll happen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carlos. You got anything else for us or not?
Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it, man.
You're welcome.
Good stuff. 201-939-4513. Chris in York, Pennsylvania. Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys. Sorry.
That's okay.
I've been listening to you guys every day. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Thanks for calling in.
You know, I enjoy you guys keeping us updated.
Thank you.
And,
we like doing it.
I just want to ask you about, I feel like we had a really, really, really strong draft this year. But I wanted to ask about the safeties, actually, because I feel like Landon Collins has you know, the I would say he's even better than someone like Earl Thomas on the Seattle. And then, like, you know, maybe in a couple years, maybe since he only had 1 year, we got to see if he stays consistent the way he was last year.
Yeah, Chris, you
but
hit
I
it.
I would start to put him in, like, towards Ed Reed and people like that.
Yeah, Chris, look, if Landon Collins repeats his production from last year or for another two or three seasons, like you just said, you would absolutely put him in that category. But I think you hit it out of the park on your own that let's see you do it again. We've seen players have, you know, one-off seasons before. It's doing it consistently is what separates the good players from the great ones. So
well,
let's see.
Talk about
consistency.
You
yeah,
talk about a sophomore slumps. That was a guy that did not have a sophomore slump.
Correct.
I mean, that was a huge jump for him. Now you want to kind of look into his third year. Can he do it again? You know what? I'm sure in his mind he can do it again. What I'd like to see is just be consistent. Okay. Yeah, we love for him to be as good as he was last year, but if he can just stay consistent and improve on certain parts of his game, then he'll be fine. I mean, what a player he has become.
And,
I mean, obviously the Giants knew what they were doing when they moved up to get him. And I feel like when they got him, they thought they stole him, but it was what a great, great draft pick.
That was a steal.
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to ask, you know, who do you think on our team would be the best fit to be next to him and, you know, back there in the safety position?
I like Darian Thompson. I think he's a classic center fielder that can ball hawk. If he's healthy, I think it's his job to lose. I think he'll be good doing that, too, to be quite honest with you. And I think Andrew Adams has done a pretty decent job back there, too. But to me, if Darian Thompson's not the starting safety and he's healthy, I'd be very, very surprised.
I would agree with that.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you guys taking my phone call. Like I said, I listen to every episode, and I really enjoy you guys keeping us updated. And I just wanted to say, Jeff, I'm a huge fan. And,
thank you.
Thank you for what you did for us when you played for us. And, I mean, you too, John, thank you for what you do for the Giants.
No problem.
And all of you down there at the Big Blue Kickoff Live show. And thank you so much.
No problem. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling and listening to the show every week.
He's a big fan.
A lot of Jeff Fiegel's love today. I don't like it. I prefer people to be rude and hateful towards you.
Of course you do. We usually get those calls when Datino's here because they're always pointing to him, not me.
Speaking of rude and hateful.
Yes. I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in the hat.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
Oh, he's not rude and hateful. He's happy. Go. Hi, Charlie.
Hi,
Charlie, real quickly, give me a live version. I want to hear Mr. Illness. I love that term that you did last year.
Mr. Illness, we got two Mr. Illnesses now. We got Apple and we got DT there. They're on the sideline. They got some mysterious illness.
Hey, you know what, Charlie? They weren't even on the sideline. They weren't here because they were trying to keep that mysterious illness away from the rest of the team.
Oh, my God. And this last caller, I almost had to get my barf bag out. Oh, God.
Barf bag?
It's barf bag.
Your barf bag.
Barf.
Man. Yeah, the barf bag, man. Hey, and Jeff, guess who was balling out again at the Atlanta's OTAs? It was other than
Pepe.
I sent you, a link on it. He caught a pass. Went down the middle, knocked a couple people over, went in the end zone.
He's definitely making the team now.
They couldn't do it. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, I know you're telling me. I know what you're telling me. Just because he caught a pass and that he knocked a couple people down, he's definitely making the roster. Awesome.
No, they said he's doing really well. Hey, the thing is, is Papa there with you and Lance and all those guys sitting in that same area as you are?
Well, not right now. Bob is here when he's not doing his golf stuff. He usually sits over where I have my little office on the other side of the building. So I'm with him. And then Lance isn't here today. But when Lance is here, he usually sets up his little computer in this area. We have a small corner set up for him that has a really low ceiling.
Very
it's
small.
Perfect for him. Yeah.
It's basically a box.
I met when I joined the radio broadcast.
Oh, you're already trying to move in. Okay.
By the way, just to give Jeff some grief here.
Oh, you really never give me grief anyways.
Here
What's
we go.
Difference?
This is the only mention I've had. Okay, maybe I'm really not giving you grief. This is the one mention I've had of Anthony Dobwe online talking about his presence at Minicamp. Here we go. This is the fifth thing that Orlando Ledbetter, who's actually a very good beat writer that covers the Falcons, the fifth thing he said that he learned at Minicamp for the Falcons. Number five, international players. And I'm going to read this. The Falcons, with an exemption for English rugby player Jake Gray, will carry 91 players into training camp. They also have Anthony Dobwe, who's from France, and an offensive tackle Andreas Knapp, who's from Denmark. Doesn't mention that Dobwe's actually done anything, just that he's there. So,
my point,
Charlie, congratulations. Dobwe, present.
They had a highlight on Dobwe from the Atlantic Falcons. Why did they have the highlight of him? I'm telling you, the guy's balling out. I'm going to see you guys very soon. Hey, and I got a question for you. Why is Detroit Lions got a smart GM. They just brought in two offensive linemen, offensive tackles. They got Kojo. They signed from Buffalo.
Oh, you have a nickname for him now.
Traded for Robinson.
Now, do you know why? Do you know why they did that?
Yeah, because Conklin is out. But they also got a whole bunch of other offensive linemen during free agency.
Not Conklin.
But we didn't do that when Beattie went down. Did we go out there and get any offensive linemen?
Taylor Decker, first of all, is the offensive lineman.
We had plenty. We had plenty, Charlie. We didn't need any more.
And by the way,
we don't have plenty. We should be getting. And
do you realize
we bring in the tryout? We bring out Danelle.
Do you realize how bad? Do you realize how bad Greg Robinson's been the last couple of years?
He's... Yeah, but they're taking a chance. They're taking at least a chance on a couple of veterans. Kojo's going to be good. That's the guy we should have got, and we didn't even bring him in. That's what I'm saying. It's like, why does Jerry Reese have a blind spot on the O-line? He knows it's our weakest position. You know, yeah, maybe Flowers and Hart, maybe they're going to turn out okay, but we still need more depth, even if they do, which I don't think they will. But I just don't get it, why he doesn't bring anybody in.
We know that. We understand that. Charlie.
We brought in Danelle. We're stacked with tight ends, and we bring in Danelle to try them out again, and we don't bring in an offensive lineman? Go figure that.
Charlie, remember, summer's coming. They're just getting ready for the pool. Larry Danelle's great at the cannonball. They wanted to give him a chance to see if he knows how to jump into the pool still, all right? It's okay.
He's good at the swan dive.
Oh, my God. And then all week, all we've been hearing about is special teams. Yeah. My God. I love punters. They're
Can
one
you
of my
hit that again?
Positions, but come on.
There went to know. He just jumped in the pool.
I can't believe I found that. I didn't know it was on there.
Charlie, we love you, man. It's so much fun to talk to you every Friday. It really is.
Charlie, enjoy your weekend, buddy.
Okay, you guys too, and I'll be seeing you soon.
Absolutely. Wee.
Da boy.
And by the way, I don't know what Charlie's talking about. I didn't see any reports about Danelle being here to work out.
How does Charlie come up with all this information?
I don't know where he came up with
that. This is fake news for Charlie.
I hate that expression.
But it is what it is. He brings up stuff that doesn't even
Worked out with the Colts.
He had a tryout with the Colts.
He worked with the Colts. They're having a little pool party up there.
Evidently, Charlie's having problems with what a Colt, the Colt emblem and the Giant emblem look very similar,
they're
right?
Both I guess white, they're both white and blue, right? Horseshoe. It could be a giant horse, maybe.
Well, listen, I would take Larry Danelle on my high diving team. You know, I mean he's shown that he can jump over people and
he's more of a cannonball type of guy.
Cannonball coming. Here it comes.
Couldn't keep on his feet. Anyway.
Charlie, he must go to bed at night thinking offensive linemen are just floating around everywhere.
Greg Robinson has been a disaster.
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 You just said disaster. I love it. Disaster.
He's been bad. He's been and it's a shame because apparently he works hard. He's a good kid, but he just hasn't played well since he got into the league. And what was he, second overall pick in the draft a few years ago? He hasn't been good.
At this time, there's no one out there. It is what it is. It's the people the Giants have. That's who they're going to go with, unless something happens, and then or there's a trade to be made or whatever it is. Which John, they don't make many trades.
That's true.
So.
Let's go to Justin in Springfield, Massachusetts. Justin, how are you? Hanging out at the Basketball Hall of Fame, are we?
Hey, gentlemen. How are we doing this today?
Doing great. What's up?
I'm calling from Pat's country, and I wear my New York Giant gear with pride.
I love it.
To the demise of everyone around me.
Congratulations. That's good.
Thank you. So, listen, I've loved football since I was a little kid, but this is the first time I've really followed the off season.
Okay.
I just want to thank you guys because you really make it interesting, and I'm learning a whole lot. So I want to thank you guys.
Well, you're very welcome. We like doing it. Thanks for listening, Justin. We appreciate it.
So kind of a general question.
Yes.
So, we're going through, training camp's going to be coming up in September. When the teams go from 90 to the 53, there's going to be a whole lot of potentially really decent football players on the market. Now, is that something the Giants are watching now? Are they looking at competition for roster spots on other teams? or is that something they really don't address until just much later? Because that seems like a whole lot of players they have to sit through just as the season's starting.
Now, Justin, I think that's a really good question. The Giants have a department that basically is completely dedicated to that. It's called their pro personnel department. They have about four or five guys up there, and all they do is track the guys that are free agents and track the guys that are – what they believe are fringe players on other teams. They know the guys that if they do get cut loose, they would be interested in. And if that happens, they'll make a move on them. And now, they changed the cut rule this year, as we talked about on the show. You don't have that middle cut anymore. You go right from you know, the full training camp roster to the 53. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that teams won't still cut some players a little bit earlier, especially veterans. Teams want to do them a favor, get them cut a little bit earlier to give them a chance to catch on elsewhere. So something like that would still be in the cards, I think, Justin. But the Giants organization has their eyes on the guys that they think could become available, that they think could help the team. Do they have them all, you know, whatever, memorized and have like a firm list? No, but trust me, they know the guys that could become available that could help the team, and they'll be all over it if they do.
Okay, and purely speculative, because I know we don't even know what our 53 looks like, but just in terms of our depth as it stands now, where do you think they're looking? You know, I know if Paul was on the show today, he'd be hoping that there's some thumper getting cut somewhere, and I don't think that would hurt us. What do you guys think, in your opinion, just based on what it looks like now and, you know, our projected 53, what area do you think they'd be looking to increase some depth potentially?
I think cornerback depth is always a good thing. To add to, maybe a little defensive tackle depth I don't think would be a bad thing to add to. Offensive line depth's never a bad thing either, and those would be the three spots, Jeff, that I'd probably focus on.
Yep. Maybe maybe a linebacker in there, depending on what happens.
It's possible.
And really, like at all those positions, you're not looking for starters, obviously. You're looking for depth. And every one of those positions that we just mentioned has to be able to play special teams. That's what's going to happen, because if they're going to make them, if they're going to make a switch, especially, you know, a veteran that's going to come on the team the first week of the season where he'll be guaranteed his salary, he has to be able to play, and play by meaning he can be that fifth corner or he can be the reserve lineman, but he's going to have to play special teams. So that's what makes a big difference. And, you know, there is a list. There's a short list of every position that these teams have. And right after this, the regular cut is made, the 53 guys, there's a lot of workouts and things that go on as the season progresses. They bring in a defensive lineman 1 week. They'll bring in receivers 1 week. And like with the defensive backs, and each team has their short list. So if somebody gets hurt, they've already worked out these guys. Maybe they worked them out in week two, and in week seven they need a cornerback. Well, they've already worked out this guy. In week two, they go right to him if he's still available.
Okay.
So that's kind of a little bit how it works. And, of course, that list changes when one of your guys on your short list signs with another team, and now you have to bring somebody up on your – that may have been the sixth guy, and now is your fifth guy, whatever. I hope that you understand that.
I do. No, that made a lot of sense. Almost kind of like a draft board sort of idea.
No,
but,
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Last question, I'll take it off the air. Is it common for this many kind of injuries to spring up when there's no pads and no contact? I mean, should we be a little bit worried about that? Was this sort of like maybe an error? Do we push too hard, or is this pretty normal to happen in June?
You know, Justin, I think it's normal, and I think the most important thing, and I wrote about this, it'll be on cover three on Monday. I asked what my biggest takeaway from the spring was, and my answer was no serious injuries. I mean, I think as much – and thanks a lot for the call, Justin. We appreciate it. Of all the things that you worry about in the spring, doing all the work and getting prepared is important, but keeping everybody – healthy to the point that they can show up in late July and be full going training camp is the most important thing. And I think for the most part, at least from what I could tell, the Giants accomplished that.
Yeah, and injuries are they're so hard to calculate. Yeah. So you never know. I mean, it's like, you know, guys get this or that. There might be a guy that's never had a hamstring injury, hurts his hamstring. You never know. But I will tell you.
You bang a knee, whatever. You twist an ankle, what happens?
And evidently, you know, the change in the staff at the, you know, as far as what they were doing last year had a direct effect on injuries for the season. Now, is it a direct correlation? You don't know. You don't know. You have no idea. But, you know, the Giants in the previous years were just snake bitten as far as injuries. Yep. It was just constantly. Last year they came out of it pretty good. Each team is different. And I will tell you that it makes a huge difference in the success of the season. The Giants were 11-5 and very
absolutely
healthy.
Okay. Your computer just died.
I don't ever need it anyways.
Okay. I was actually say like a minute ago, you have a big decision to make. It was a 1%. Were you going to let it die or fold up shop? And you let it die. There it goes.
Goodbye.
Let's go to Q in Newark. He's up next. Hi, Q. Q. How you
doing, fellas?
What's up, man?
Been a long time. Glad to be back. Love the show, of course. Long time Giants fan. What's up with McAdoo's new cut? He looks like Donnie Roscoe. I mean, I don't know what's going on with his new
cut. Q, I'm telling you.
You got to click back.
I said this on Wednesday. People comparing to Pat Riley, I don't see it. You got to go on Google Images, type in Paul Dottino, look at him from the early 90s. He's got the Dottino. He's going for the Dottino. I think that's what's going on here.
The slick. Hey, listen.
He kind of like Donnie Brasco, too. I mean, he reminds me of that.
He does. He definitely does.
I also want. What's up with this guy? Also, Mike Francesca. He has this thing. He has it out for Odell. I mean, I was listening to one of his podcasts, and he was going all the way in on Odell about the fact that he missed OTAs, and the OTAs, from my understanding, is voluntary, even though you would want to have all your players there. I just don't understand. But the funny thing about it that I got out of that is that Vernon has his money, since Odell's supposed to be holding out for contract purposes. Vernon has his contract. He has the big contract. He also didn't show up. But no one is talking about it.
Because he never shows up. He doesn't go to OTA.
Well, Q, the reason is that Beckham transcends football. I mean, people outside of football don't give a damn. All due respect, he's a really good player, but they don't care about Olivier Vernon. He's just not a star like Odell Beckham Jr. is, and that's why I'm not telling you it's fair. I'm not telling you that's the way it should be. I'm just telling you that's why it is, and that's why Beckham gets more attention than a guy like Vernon does. It's just the way the world works.
Listen, in about another 6 weeks, you'll forget all about it. Trust me. Nobody will care.
Exactly. Absolutely. I wanted to ask about how was the new middle linebacker that we got now –
Goodson?
Yes, exactly. Goodson. BJ Goodson.
I mean, he's looked fine. He's looked fine, Q. I mean, the guys have said he's done a good job in the huddle, a good job making adjustments, kind of being the leader.
Because I also heard that Antonio Pierce is there coaching him up.
Yep.
And Antonio Pierce was a very good middle linebacker. He probably could help him with watching film and everything like that because Antonio Pierce was great at that. He was a great leader when he was out there.
There are things that Antonio Pierce will teach him that coaches can't teach him. So he's a great guy to have him here to teach it. But like we talked about the O-line, D-line, they're playing with no pads and you can't hit. What the heck can you find out about a middle linebacker when you can't go downhill and hit somebody?
If he can run, that's about it.
Yeah. So let's wait and see.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm excited up and coming season. I mean, we have a lot of weapons. I can't wait to see the young tight end, Evan Engram. I can't wait to see him in game speed. I keep hearing about the speed. I want to see it now. I'm so excited.
I agree.
Defense is loaded. I mean, all the non-believers keep non-believing. I think it's going to be a special season, and I can't wait. Love the show.
Thank you, Q.
You guys have a great day.
All right, Q.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in.
And we aren't going to get in the middle of the whole Odell Mike thing. They can do their own thing. Mike's entitled to his opinion. I'm not going to say he's right or wrong. It's his show, and he has his platform because he's been doing it a long time, folks. He's good at what he does. So we're not going to get in the middle of that.
And you were right. I mean, you look at Olivia Vernon and you look at Odell Beckham. They're both stars, but nobody is as big a star. They're not the same stars.
I don't think there's anybody in football that's a bigger star than him right now.
No.
Maybe Tom Brady?
Yeah,
but he doesn't put himself
his own way.
But he doesn't put himself out there the same way Odell does.
Right. Odell just seems to be at everything, and you know he's into social media. He's just the way it is. You know, you don't see too much on Tom Brady in social media because that's just not the way he is. But, you know, and really, and the long and short of the whole OTA thing is that hey, he was here when he had to be here. That's why there are rules. That's why they say it's voluntary. That means you don't have to be here.
And just like Ben McAdoo said, you prefer everybody to be here, but it was his option to be here or not. And like Jeff said before, folks, we're going to be here in August. In October, he's going to have a 3-touchdown game, and no one's going to be thinking, boy, too bad he missed those
OTAs. Or he's going to come the first day of training camp, and he's going to be in a Giant uniform, and he's going to be out there practicing, and people are going to be like, man, look how good he's running. Oh, but he wasn't here in OTA.
I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to be in great shape when he shows up at the end of July.
Come on.
The guy works hard. He does.
He wants to win. He wants to be the best there ever was. And you know what? He's not going to just sit there and rest on his laurels. When he does have a contract coming up soon, he's going to be fine.
Nick in the Meadowlands will wrap us up today. Hi, Nick.
What's up, Nick?
What's up, guys? What's up, Figs?
Hi.
What's up, John?
Hi.
How are you, my man?
My two favorite guys.
Well, you know what?
Hey, the hell with you, Datino and Meadow.
Yeah, we like to hear that. I wish we'd hear that more often.
I tried calling in yesterday, Figs, to talk to you, but, it's better today because I got the both of you.
All right.
I don't even listen to Mike. And you know what? I did listen to him, and I know what he's talking about. He's mad because Odell didn't show up for that function, and he was out all night at a wedding, and he woke up at 6 in the morning and got home at 2 in the morning and showed up anyway. I think he holds a grudge against Odell because he didn't show up to that thing, you know, and then he just – that's why that guy's gone after this year. I don't even listen to that guy. He's rude and just hangs up on people and doesn't let you even talk. Anyway, what's up with Charlie? Still with B – I bet you if Beatty walked through the door today, he would think that he could start, you know. What's going on with that? We're good. I was going to talk to you guys about that. Flowers, he looks good. He what do you guys think he weighs? About 315, maybe 320?
I honestly don't know.
I don't know either, but he's still a big dude.
I'm not sure how accurate his listed weight is even. Because, you know, a lot of times what they'll do, Nick,
it's like
is that
330.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I know that's true. But a lot of times what they'll do is they'll weigh the guys when they first show up, and they'll leave that same weight there for 4 years, and you don't know what the hell the guy is. You know what I mean?
I was going to ask you guys about that because, you know, like it still has Landon Collins at 225, and I know he's between 215 and 220.
Yep.
You know, and I know Eli Apple gained weight, and they still got him listed at 199. So that's what I was going to ask you. That you can't go by that, but he looks like that stomach is even in his face. You can tell he don't have such a big double chin. You know what I mean? He looks like he's in really good shape. He looks like he got, you know, he took the stubbornness away of, you know, like my routine's good, and I think he listened to everybody, asked questions, and he went and he did it. And I think it's going to show on the field. And we got depth, you know. I can't wait to see Adam the Viking. We keep talking about it. I wish
Adam
I could put pads on. That's when we're going to be able to tell, guys.
It's funny. When that second team Giants offensive line comes on, I'm not sure if it's like the cast from the Viking show or it's like the 80s rock hair band with Wheeler at one tackle and Biznavati at the other. It's very funny.
I like it. I think he's going to be a good player. I really do. I think
you let him go, Dave. He's gone. Okay.
Has a little nastiness in him, you know. I think that, and he'll probably provide some depth. He'll be a guy that, you know, on Sundays is, you know, he's going to be on the field.
And they're playing him a guard, too.
Specialty. Yeah, absolutely.
It's time for everyone's favorite game.
Everyone's favorite game.
With Jeff Fiegel.
Woo! I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
Wow.
Hundreds of players.
24-19.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
How many
we got
today? Host,
that was just so
John
going to 26 Schmelt. And 19.
We got two on the docket for today, Mr. Fiegel.
19 will be the number in a matter of minutes.
Did you play with Paul Miranda? Paul Miranda.
Is that the Miranda rights guy? Paul Miranda. I have no idea. I think that name is made up.
It could be. Maybe it is. I don't know.
I would have remembered a guy by the name of Miranda because of the Miranda rights, and I'm going to say no, and I'm probably going to be wrong. I mean, seriously.
Paul Miranda was your teammate with the Seattle Seahawks in 2000 and 2001. He started at cornerback for two games for the 2001 Seahawks. Yes, he did. He had 13 tackles that year.
Oh, big deal.
He started two games at corner. Boy, you just had a bad team in 2001 with the Seahawks, huh? Were you guys any good?
Miranda.
Yeah, Paul Miranda. I'm sorry, maybe you know him by his middle name, Paul Nathaniel Miranda.
Oh, no? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, oh, yeah, I did. No, I did not remember him. I'm sorry, Paul.
Okay.
If you had 15 tackles, I probably would have remembered you a little bit more.
You're going to try to bounce back here.
Damn it!
Did you play with Mike Flores?
Mike Flores, yes, I did.
Where and when did you play with Mike Flores?
I think
Flores.
Mike was in Philly.
Correct.
Yes,
good
sir.
Good job. Mike was in Philly.
A D-lineman?
He was a D-lineman. Very good. A defensive lineman. Jeff, you're on fire.
Number.
Oh boy, now you're really getting brave.
There's no way. Okay, if I get his number right, can I take back the previous Miranda?
I will give you an extra win
if I can
on
get
your
his
record
number.
If you can get his number right. And he wore two numbers for the Eagles, so if you pick either one, I'll give it to you.
I'm gonna say, I'm picturing 64.
Not even close. 90, 95 or 96.
Okay. You love the buzzer.
I do.
You do. Don't you hear enough of that buzzer during basketball season?
Yeah, seriously, right?
All right, so all right, we'll split it. That's fine.
I got a marker here for you. I got a marker. Sit down. All I got right, it. I got right, it. It's right. hiding
I
over
to
here.
Go off the show.
Well, we're going to close the show anyway.
Miranda.
How do you not know Paul Miranda? He started two games for one of your football teams.
I do. Now it's coming to me.
Oh, you liar. You don't remember him at all.
25 and 20.
Such a liar.
I do believe. I remember Paul.
All right, folks, just to remind you, we'll be with you for the rest of the offseason trying to think of creative ways to keep you entertained.
Except for the next 6 weeks.
One way to do that will be to preview. Jeff, I'll put it up there. What are you doing?
Hold on. Let me grab one of these. Let me grab one of these.
Oh, God. What are you doing?
It's a
get
pin,
off of me.
A pin to the back of your neck.
Oh, my God.
When do I get to play this game with you? Did you work with...
Tell you what, if you start picking out names from the intern classes the last 6 years,
see?
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
luck.
We'll see how good you are.
Not good. Anyways, what I was saying is that we will be with you for the next 6 weeks, except for the week of the 4th of July. We'll not be with you that week. The office is closed, so we will not be here. And then starting next Friday, we will be here. That'll be our last Friday here until training camp starts. We start getting summer Friday.
And then we're going to start previewing teams, right?
Yes, and starting next week, we'll be previewing every opponent the Giants have next year. We'll be starting with the Philadelphia Eagles with me and Paul Dottino on Monday. Our usual guest for the Cowboys, Mickey Spagnuolo, is not available until later in July, so we move them back to all the right. Second week of July. And then we'll do the Lions on Tuesday, the Redskins on Wednesday, and we'll do a different team every day. So make sure you tune in to Giants.com for that as we start getting ready for the regular season. And, folks, if you have any other ideas of how we can entertain you.
That would be good.
Stupid topics, anything you want to kind of have fun and debate, please hit me up on Twitter at #GiantsChat. We'll talk about it and we'll have a little fun with it, okay? Appreciate it. For Jeff Eagles, I'm John Schmelk. Enjoy
you
your weekend. Avoid the rain. We'll see you on Monday.
Happy Friday.
Adios.